Well, it is good to see you, and it sure is good to have Lucy here with us. She was standing over there where she could see the words with me, and she was singing. She was trying, she was doing good, so I appreciate her singing to the Lord. Blesses my heart. All right, well, it's good to have you here, and we're back into God's Word. Last time we were together, we started looking at John chapter 12. John chapter 12, today we're going to pick up where we left off. And we're going to learn some very interesting, I think, and important things about one of the most infamous men in all of history, Judas Iscariot. You've heard of Judas Iscariot, haven't you? You know about Judas. Yeah. Well, that's what we're going to learn about here. We're going to pick it up in verse 4. So let's pray and ask God to help us understand what we're reading, okay? Father, I thank you today for this opportunity to be here with our brothers and sisters and to study your word. I thank you for the songs we've just sung. I thank you for my wife and for her picking out these wonderful old hymns and the way she sings to honor and glorify you and encourages our hearts as we sing. I thank you for Lucy, for her being here and helping me sing today. And I thank you for everybody else who's here, who's singing in their hearts, if not with their lips. And I thank you for that, Lord, because you're worth singing about, Lord. You are awesome in all your ways. You are God Most High. You've not only created us, we're created in your image, but you have redeemed us through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. You've redeemed us from our sins. You've saved us from death and hell and destruction. And one of these days we will fly away to be with you in glorified, eternal, immortal bodies. And how excited we are that you've got this awesome plan that you've caused to be fulfilled through our Lord Jesus Christ. So help us, Lord, to live for you, to glorify you, no matter what we're doing, where we are, who we're with. Help us to remember that you are with us and to bring you glory and honor. Lord, today we're looking at your word. Help us to remember that it really is your holy word, infallible, inerrant, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Help us to learn as we read your word. Help us to listen to you. Teach us things about ourselves, about yourself, about the world, things that we need to understand so that we can be more effective servants, so that we can be better followers of Jesus, so we can be a little bit more like him. Thank you, Lord, for being here with us and honoring us with your presence. Fill us with your spirit and get glory now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, verse 4 of John chapter 12. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said... Now, let me remind you what's going on here. Mary has just poured very expensive ointment on Jesus' feet. Jesus had raised Lazarus, Mary's brother, from the dead. Mary and Martha's brother, Lazarus. Jesus had raised him from the dead. The whole city knew about this. It was an awesome thing. And they had given a party in Jesus' honor. And at that party, Mary had poured this very expensive perfume on Jesus' feet. And so Judas was there to see it all happen. And when Judas saw it happen, he said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" That's what Judas said. He said this, verse 6 says, not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. So Judas makes a statement here that makes most of us just kind of cringe. We think, oh my goodness, Judas, how can you be so insensitive? Judas should have been embarrassed about what he said. He's definitely showing his true colors here. He's basically saying, do you hear what he's saying? He's basically saying, Jesus is not worth this, Mary. What a foolish waste of money. That's what he's saying. By the way, that's the way a lot of unbelievers feel today. If they learn that we're giving an offering to the Lord or to the Lord's work of some kind, or if they see us spending a lot of time trying to honor the Lord, a lot of times they think, what a foolish waste. What a foolish waste of money. What a foolish waste of time. I can remember times when I've invited people to church and they'll say something like, I've heard several of them say something like this, no thanks. I've tried church. They're just after my money. I've heard people say that several times. I bet you've heard it too. And you know when they say that, they're revealing who their true master is. It's money. Jesus said it this way. No man can serve two masters, Jesus said. He'll either hate the one and love the other, or he'll hold to the one and despise the other. He said, you cannot serve God and money. You have to make a choice. Now, we know in just a few more days from what we're reading right here, Judas is going to reveal his true colors even more. Instead of lavishing this gift, scholars say today that what she poured out on Jesus' feet was probably worth $20,000 or $30,000 in today's money. That was expensive. It's amazing. Like a year's worth of income. But instead of him lavishing out $20,000 or $30,000 on Jesus with a heart of love like Mary showed to Jesus when she poured that expensive perfume, Judas, in a few days, is going to greedily accept about $1,000 worth of silver to betray Jesus to be killed. That's what Judas was like. Judas loved money more than he loved Jesus. Yeah. And the lesson's very clear here, guys. It's for all of us. We need to stay on our guard because there's a temptation for all of us to get too excited about what money can do. Now, I know money can be a blessing from God, and He gives us lots of blessings through things that cost money. I understand that, but we've got to be very careful. It's very, very deceptive, and it can be very deadly and very destructive if we set our love on money. Judas turns out to be a very despicable guy. He's very selfish, for sure. He's a thief, the Bible said. We just read it. He's greedy. He has no love for Jesus. In chapter 6, Jesus called him a devil. And you know, it's fascinating, in spite of all of this, how some unbelievers through the centuries have tried to kind of rehabilitate Judas. I don't know if you've read any of these things or not, but there have been people out there who said, well, what Judas was trying to do was really kind of noble. He was trying to force Jesus' hand. He really did believe in Jesus. He just wanted to get Jesus into action. That's silly, but some people have said that about Judas. Others have even said, well, Jesus actually personally arranged for Judas to do this. Jesus talked Judas into doing this to betray him ahead of time and set it all up. And it wasn't Judas's fault that it all went bad. Isn't it amazing how Satan wants to rehabilitate Judas for us? Jesus tells us what he was. He was a devil. Judas never really loved Jesus. He loved money and he loved power. And it's very likely that what Judas thought was, you know what? This guy Jesus looks like he could be the real thing. Judas saw him work miracles. He knew how powerful Jesus was. He might be able to throw off the yoke of Rome. He might be able to defeat Rome if he can work all these miracles. He might be able to destroy Rome. And if he does, Judas might have thought, when Jesus establishes his kingdom, I'll get to be the treasurer. I'll be rich and powerful. That's probably the kind of thinking he was doing. And then when he saw that Jesus wasn't the kind of Messiah he was looking for, Jesus was getting ready to die for our sins, Judas bailed out. He said, I'm done. And he got as much money as he could out of it, 30 pieces of silver. But there's another really important lesson we learned from Judas here, guys. You know, a little bit later, around the Lord's Supper, Jesus is going to say, one of you will betray me. Now, you know who he's talking about. He's talking about Judas, right? He said, one of you will betray me. But when we read that, we do not see all the other disciples looking at Judas and saying, well, it must be Judas. They didn't say that. They didn't know who he's talking about. You remember that? They did not say, oh, we knew all along. We could tell by the way Judas behaved. They didn't say that. They didn't say, hey, remember, Judas couldn't heal people. Judas couldn't cast out the demons like we could. They had no idea. They did not know it was Judas. Now, some people might say, well, does that mean he could do all those miracles? And if he did, does that mean he was saved and then lost? No, it was really Jesus doing those miracles through all those men. It's always Jesus doing the miracles. It's not men. But he certainly wasn't saved and then lost. Because if he had eternal life is not something you lose. My wife was telling us about that a while ago when we were singing. The very fact that it's eternal means it's not temporary. It's eternal. It's not something you can lose. No, Judas was like a tare. growing in the wheat. You remember the parable of the wheat and the tares Jesus gave us? Judas was like one of those tares. He's one of those guys that John was talking about over in 1 John when he said, some of those people left us. He said, they went out from us. But he said, they were not really of us. He said, if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. You remember that? Judas was one of those guys. So the point is, even though he was a thief, and he was a betrayer, and he was, Jesus said, a devil, he covered it up. He covered it up pretty well. Disciples couldn't even realize who he was. And so God warns everybody who is a believer, everybody in the church, because some people in the church are not real believers. He says, look, this is through Paul in 2 Corinthians 13. Examine yourselves. Examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Am I trusting Jesus or not? Pretty simple. We have to be like children. It's not complicated, but it needs to be sincere. It needs to be true. It needs to be genuine. In Hebrews chapter 3, he said, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart. We got to examine ourselves. There are multitudes of people, just like Judas, all around us. In Judas' case, it was money he loved more than Jesus. It was power he loved more than Jesus. It's the same today. Some people love money more than Jesus. Some people love power more than Jesus. There are other things. Some people love popularity more than they love Jesus. Some people love sexual immorality more than they love Jesus. Some people love fun more than they love Jesus. Some people love their families more than they love Jesus. Some people love their possessions more than they love Jesus. Some people love the praise of men more than they love Jesus. More important to them than Jesus. That is the spirit of Judas. For him, it was power and money. Anything we love more than Jesus puts us in the same category as Judas. And as we walk through this life with Jesus, we just need to realize there are people out there who really do love Jesus. Like I said, this is not complicated. Little children can really love Jesus. There are people out there whose lives really are all about Jesus, and then there are people out there like Judas. So we don't need to be surprised. Some of them may wake up one of these days and realize, wow, I don't really trust Jesus. I haven't really loved Jesus. I've loved myself or something else. And as God gives us opportunity, we can pray for those guys, those people. You may know some people you need to pray for. We may be able to encourage them to realize you're choosing something over Jesus. You're choosing the love of the world over Jesus. And that's choosing a path of death. That's choosing a path of destruction instead of the path of life. We need to help people with that. Listen to what Jesus said in verse 7. Jesus said, leave her alone. He's talking to Judas. Leave her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me. So Jesus is rebuking Judas here. He's saying, leave her alone, Judas, back off. And he gives him three reasons. He says, number one, she may keep it for the day of my burial. Number two, you'll always have the poor with you. And number three, you won't always have me. What she's done is a good thing. So back off, Judas. Verse 7 is a little bit difficult. Some translations add the words, it was intended for her. They're not in the Greek, but it probably helps us understand it. In other words, it's like she was intended to keep this expensive perfume to use it to anoint my body for my soon coming death and burial. Pretty soon he's going to die and be buried. If you take it literally without adding those words, it seems like Jesus might be saying to Judas, you prevented her from doing something on the day of my burial because she's pouring it out for me right now. In any case, he's saying to Judas, you don't have any love for me. She does. She loves me. You don't. And Judas, I don't want your love of money to mess up or cause her to doubt her love for me. See, Judas has rebuked her, and Jesus rebukes Judas. So he's saying, back off, so that she may keep her love for me, even after I've gone to the cross and grave in a few more days. People will know how much she loved me. And Jesus adds, if I could paraphrase him, and by the way, Judas, if you really are concerned about the poor, which you should be, but I know you're really not, you can have the rest of your life to focus on the poor. You can have the rest of your life to take care of them, to provide for them. That's what Jesus is telling Judas. And you know, the Bible does make it very clear. We are supposed to care about the poor. We're supposed to try to take care of the poor and do what we can to help the poor. That's part of it. That's why, by the way, Judas had the boldness to make this blistering statement to Mary to try to make her ashamed. Mary, don't you know God's commanded us to take care of the poor? What are you doing? This could have been used to take care of the poor. He's trying to embarrass her, you see. But he's the one who ought to be embarrassed. He wants to make Mary feel guilty because of her extravagant love for Jesus. You hear what he's doing there? He's given a biblical principle to try to do that. But listen, guys, if we have to choose between caring for the poor and exalting Jesus, and we don't have to choose, we can do both. We're commanded to do both. But if we had to choose, you better choose exalting Jesus, right? Yeah. There'll be other ways to take care of the poor. The fact is, when we begin to love Jesus and exalt Jesus and praise Jesus and worship Jesus and make our lives all about Jesus, He will lead us to do what we need to do about the poor too. See, that's the way it works. Yeah. Verse 9, when the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, now listen to this, they came not only on account of Him, but also to see Lazarus, whom He had raised from the dead. Do you hear what He's saying here? There's a huge crowd of people gathering. The Passover's getting near. People are coming from all over the empire to Jerusalem. And the fame of Jesus' ministry has reached its high point. People know about Jesus. And people heard about Lazarus. They knew about this. Jesus is a phenomenon. Lazarus is a phenomenon. And these people are coming just to try to get a glimpse. They want to see this man that Jesus has raised from the dead. They're excited. It's an amazing thing. So these crowds are coming. And verse 10 says, so the chief priests made plans. Listen to what they plan to do. To put Lazarus to death as well. They thought, we got to kill this guy. Isn't that amazing? Because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. Those who seem to be following Jesus right now are growing in number. Now, a lot of this crowd is not real. They're not real believers. We know that because pretty soon they're going to turn on him and say, crucify him. But some of them are, but they're just being swept off their feet by his miracles and by his power and by raising Lazarus from the dead. And this huge crowd of people is scaring the religious leaders. They're afraid they're going to lose their power over the people. They're afraid they're going to lose their influence. And so it drives them into a rage to get rid of Jesus and to get rid of the evidence. Jesus has given lots of evidence. I mean, there's Lazarus. He's alive. Everybody knew he had died. He'd been dead for 3 days, and now he's alive and he's eating with Jesus. All kinds of evidence. Jesus gave them lots of evidence to know that he's God. He's given us evidence too, by the way. He's given us lots of evidence for people who are willing to look at it. There's all kinds of evidence to show us that Jesus is exactly who the Bible says he is. They didn't have any excuse, and neither do we today. Plenty of people out there just like that. But the Pharisees hated it. The religious leaders, they wanted to stop it because they wanted power for themselves. And it looked like for a little while they were going to win. But we all know what happened, don't we? He came out of that tomb. Jesus rose again from the dead, and he gave us lots of evidence for that too. And now he's conquered death. Those religious leaders are just the dust of history. He's conquered Satan. He's conquered hell. He's conquered the grave. He's conquered our sin. It's all because of Jesus. And so there are plenty of people out there who need to hear that still, guys. And we can have opportunities. As God opens the doors, God puts them in our lives, we need to talk to them about Jesus. And if they say, how can you believe it? Say, there are all kinds of eyewitnesses. There are lots of people who saw Jesus risen from the dead. God's given us all kinds of evidence. His word is true. Jesus is alive. And we need to pray for these people and encourage them to come to know him too. Okay, let's do that right now. Father, we pray for people who are very confused because they believe the lies from the world and the devil, maybe their own minds. We pray that you draw them to yourself. We pray that more and more people might be able to see what these people were able to see, that Jesus Christ is God, that Jesus Christ can raise the dead, that Jesus Christ is supernatural, that he's almighty, that he's powerful, and that he himself can lay down his life and take it back up again, which he did. And with all kinds of eyewitnesses, thank you so much that these eyewitnesses were willing to die rather than renounce what they knew to be true. Thank you so much, Lord, for giving us this scripture. And Lord, as we look around, we see people making the same horrific mistake that Judas made as they choose money as they choose power, as they choose the things of this world instead of choosing Jesus. And I pray that you would use us and maybe others to help them see the truth, to bring them back to you, that they could realize that life should really be all about Jesus, because without Jesus, we are lost. Without Jesus, we are headed for destruction. So I pray, Lord, that soon others will come into the kingdom. Lord, our whole nation needs this. They need to hear this message. They need to hear about Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that people all over this country would wake up and realize that you are God, that Jesus Christ is King and Lord, and that they would submit to Jesus before it's too late. Lord, I pray that many, many people would come into the kingdom. Thank you, Lord, that through Jesus Christ, we have victory over hell. We've got victory over Satan. We've got victory over death. We've got victory over our sins. And it's all because of Jesus. So we thank you so much in His mighty name. Amen. Amen. Amen.